Welcome to the Real Estate Syndication Show. Whether you are a seasoned investor or building a new real estate business, this is the show for you. Whitney Sewell talks to top experts in the business. Our goal is to help you master real estate syndication. And now your host, Whitney Sewell.
This is your daily real estate syndication show. I'm your host, Whitney Sewell. Today our guest is Tatiana Mercyatis. Thanks for being on the show, Tatiana.
Thank you so much. I'm honored.
I'm honored. We're honored to have you here. And I've gotten to know Tatiana a little bit, and she has helped us in numerous ways, but just an amazing expert in numerous ways that all entrepreneurs should learn a lot from her today on the show. So, but a little about her, she's an accomplished teacher and also a professional trainer and sales executive with over 30 years of experience. Passionate about making a difference in people's lives. Today, she is CEO and co-founder of the LY2NK Foundation, which acts as an intermediator for organizations, investors, mentors, and leaders who want to grow capital investment on behalf of a special cause, such as the construction of schools, educational programs, nutrition and food development programs, land purchase and development, and numerous other causes. Tatiana, thank you again. I'm very grateful for your time and just you being willing to share your expertise. But give the listeners a little more about who you are, maybe where you're located as well. And let's jump into your superpower.
So I live in beautiful Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And I've been here for over 30 years. I'm originally from Montreal, Quebec. And before that, Geneva, Switzerland. So a lot of European background and Middle Eastern background in me, which is why I'm pretty passionate about everything I do, because the cultures are very passionate. I was an educator for 35 years in the high school system, and I have three different degrees. And it was my passion for ever so long, until about 14 years ago, when I felt that I reached the ceiling, right, of where I was at. And suddenly I woke up one summer feeling uninspired and needing to go a different route in my life.
Wow. So I think a lot of us could relate to that. Just, you know, you're in that grind and you said you were passionate about it, but finally it's like, you know, you just hit that ceiling and you realize there's no place else for me to go. What else can I strive for? And, you know, what did you pursue after that and kind of get us to where you're at now?
Well, it was a sunny summer day. And I looked up to God and I go, I can't do this anymore. There's got to be more to life. And I kid you not, the universe answered 15 minutes later. It's unbelievable when you set your mind and what happens, you know, it's kind of like voodoo, but it actually really works. I was then introduced that day, that afternoon, to somebody in the financial planning industry. And I met a young fellow and I love talking with people. I quickly found out by me questioning him that he teaches how money works. And that immediately caught my attention. And I said, I need to know what you do. So from then on, for 5 years, I studied financial planning, thinking that was my route out, because teachers do really well in that field. But the goal of that in the end ended up teaching me the foundations of money that is extremely important. So I studied it for 5 years. And I came to realize that that wasn't my passion. Because honestly, it was dealing with the masses and bless their souls and everything. But my whole point was to get out of dealing with the masses. You know, in education, I was dealing with the masses all the time. The employee mindset, the scarcity mindset, it just didn't work for me. So I wanted to work in the world of abundance mentality. And I realized that I had always been a natural born entrepreneur, but I just didn't realize it at the time. And that is definitely what I've become today. But I don't like working alone. I like working in teams. It's so exciting to work in teams because everybody brings their skill set. You just have to make sure that you vet the people very carefully that become on your teams, that become part of your tribe. And as long as they have the same mindset, the same values, the same aspirations, it's incredible what you can produce together as a team.
Nice. So it is. It is. I mean, your team is so important. I can't stress it enough. I mean, just as I've had even just different you know, personal assistants or executive assistants. I mean, it's amazing, you know, even as I've progressed to more qualified ones, we'll say, you know, like the more things that happen in our business, you know, and the better I learn to work with them as well. And, you know, all those things as we've improved, but team is so important. I'd love to dive into, you know, that proper vetting that you talked about. I know you're like, you're an expert around just building teams and just enrolling people and using them. And I'd love to hear just maybe you just get us started a little bit on your vetting process.
Well, first I want to qualify the word expert. I don't believe I'm an expert. I don't like to throw those words around lightly, but I definitely am good at what I do.
You're humble.
Yeah, definitely. And it really, you know, if you think about it, after teaching for 35 years, you can imagine I used to have 200 students every 2 days over 35 years, and also working with so many different staff members, so many different administrators, et cetera. I would say I have a master's in personalities, you know, and being able to read a room and read people and know where their strengths and weaknesses are quite quickly. You don't have a choice but to learn how to be that as a teacher. You have to be able to cater to the weakest link in the room and the strongest link in the room. So how do you keep the weakest interested and engaged while not boring the strongest people in the room? That alone is extremely difficult. So I was a natural at classroom management, just a natural. I'd have students walking in and I knew exactly what was going on for them from day one. I don't know, I was just born with this skill set. And then I got to perfect it over the years. And so I'm really, really good at picking out people's strengths and weaknesses and empowering them to work in their strengths and teaching them to delegate their weaknesses, because not everybody can be good at everything. That's ridiculous. So how on a team do you bring everybody together that they feel moved and inspired to work in their values and then feel supported for the weaknesses? That's how you build morale. And I don't believe in a hierarchy on teams. No, no, no. There's no boss on the teams. It's all a platform of idea meritocracy and everybody being on the same scale and nobody bossing anybody around. That doesn't empower anybody at all. You know, when I'm on a team, if the majority of the team has better solutions and ideas than me, I'm the first one to sit back and go, got it. We're going with this idea. So you have to be extremely humble.
That's why you have a team, right? Pulling something from everybody.
Yeah, but a lot of people believe that teams are more an ego. I got like 20 people I'm managing and I'm their boss and they answer to me. That's a scarcity mentality. It's not an abundance mentality. So I really, really worked on my mindset for 14 years intensely. And I still do it every week. I have coaching calls on pushing myself out of my comfort zone every single week to see how can I grow as an individual in my relationships, in my career, in my professional relationships. Every single week I do that. The minute you stop doing that, you get stale and stagnant. So, you know, being a leader to me is having the courage to hold up the mirror and to look, because very few people have the courage to do that. And they would just rather, you know, pat their own egos and point the finger and make it everybody else's problem, not their problem. The minute you stop to point the finger out to somebody, what happens pointing back to you? Three more fingers towards you. That is, I mean, I am a classic case of learning this.
So you mentioned like picking out people's strengths and weaknesses, and it's important. And I've tried to find my own, and there's just certain things I'm not good at. And I want to find people that are much better at me at doing those things, or things I'm just not passionate about. Maybe I could do it, but I just don't want to. That's right. So I'll find somebody, you know, that loves that, you know, and it's been great, you know, and it's not easy though. How do you find, you know, or help determine that strength and weakness in say an employee or, you know, somebody on your team?
Well, the biggest thing I want to say is that your relationship should not be transactional. You have to work on relations and being relational and building relationship equity. Number one, actually sitting down and really getting to know somebody. That's completely different than just asking for their bullets on their resume. That's not the same thing. And so that alone is a skill. You know, you can't just from one day to the other think that you can actually get related to somebody just because you say you want to get related. And so that's why you have to work on developing your own skill set when it comes to mindset training, because everything starts here. Mm. And the biggest problem about team building or career or aspirations or anything in life, the biggest thing that's going to take you down is your mind, right? And you have to learn to be aware of what's going on in your mind, go through the obstacles, learn about yourself first, right? Only to then be able to learn about somebody else. So if you're not willing to do training and development on yourself, you're pretty much, you know, going up a mountain without any gear. You're not going to get anywhere, and you're going to hit obstacles, and before you know it, you'll be tumbling down the mountain. So it really all starts with yourself first. So very few people have the time to, well, not the time, but they do have the time, but they don't say they have the time. So put your money where your
mouth is. There's a difference, right?
Yeah, put your money where your mouth is. Spend the money to train and develop yourself. There are tons of courses out there that help with that. And when I started, it was extremely confronting, the hardest thing I've ever done, but the best thing I've ever done. I would not be here without a shadow of a doubt had I not worked on my mind first and on myself first. So, you know, you really have to deal with your own baggage first before you can go and start evaluating other people, because it's impossible. Right. So you got to go take care of that, clean up your own house. Deal with your own house to then bring and have the skill set to bring compassion when you get into someone's house and realize that there's a big mess over here, right? So how do you empower somebody? Because once you do so much training and development on yourself, you get really good at picking out what's really going on for the people. So when, and also, you know, I did do this for 35 years. So body language, facial expressions, what they say, what they don't say, I know exactly what's going on for people. They don't even need to tell me, because I have so much experience in people skills, right? And the mindset training and the training and development taught me how to engage with people through compassion, understanding, and giving them space to be who they are, the way they are now.
You could feed a child for a dollar a day, but what if children could feed themselves and feed their family and generations to come? Leaders Yielding to New Knowledge, or LINK, is a nonprofit organization that focuses on empowering people to form self-sufficient, sustainable communities. It multiplies knowledge, skills, and resources to create a ripple of impact. Most charities feed kids with a dollar a day. LINK aims to help them feed themselves. LINK creates leaders and gives certainty to future generations, protecting their culture. LINK gives a hand up, not a handout. Empower them with LINK. Visit ly2nk.org. That's ly2nk.org. Love it. So I couldn't agree more just about mindset. I know, I mean, it was a massive shift for me, or like military boot camp and, you know, spending a year overseas, then coming home, going police academy, all those things like really changed my mindset about lots of things, you know, just helped me to push, give me more drive and, you know, pushing through difficult things, all that. But then, you know, switching more the entrepreneurial route, then I just dove in more on mindset. And when I started more self-improvement, I mean, I just can't agree with you more. Like, once I started doing more self-improvement, I just started seeing lots of things change.
Exactly. So you got to start first with yourself before you think you're going to actually empower anybody else. So that's number one thing. And you don't have to wait to get to a certain place. As long as you're committed to start, you know, it happens together. You know, you build yourself up and you build your team up. Because what you learn when you train and develop yourself, you're obviously going to teach by osmosis to the people that are around you, if you care about them.
What were a couple of things that helped you to start down the mindset shift, you know, change, or just, the, you know, when you're, you know, you switch the entrepreneurial route and you're like, wait a minute, you know, I've been born to be an entrepreneur all this time, you know, but then it's like, okay, I've got to start teaching myself, changing my mindset. What were a couple of things you did to help the listener also, you know, begin to make those changes?
Well, the biggest thing for me was thinking that nothing could change in my life. That was my biggest thing. I was so adamant about going, you don't understand. It works for everybody else. But in my life, nothing's going to change. For me, I was the poster child of nothing's going to change. And so the fact that everything changed for me is unbelievable. So I don't think that, honestly, there was anybody more stuck than me, quite frankly. So if I can get unstuck, anybody can get unstuck. Mm. right? And so first and foremost, that's number one. And to run towards my fear instead of running away from my fear.
Yeah.
You know, that takes courage. And to not necessarily know all the answers, but to move a little bit, baby steps at a time. Whether it comes to building your business or whether it comes to moving forward in your training and development, as long as you move forward, like in business, just one little step at a time every day, as minute as it is, it's still moving forward. And before you know it, those increments become bigger, bigger, and bigger. So that's number one, face my fear, do something about it instead of complaining. Because the biggest mistake is if you keep doing something over and over again and expecting something to change, that's the definition of crazy to me. So I ended up personally thinking I finally hit my rock bottom and I wanted to do something about it. I was done. So it was really non-negotiable. It was either do something about it or just give up. Mm. And, you know, my mindset towards me was like, okay, this has been going on for long enough. I've got to do something about it. So that's what I did. And the other thing that changed everything to me was the difference between a scarcity mindset and an abundant mindset. You know, I used to say, I don't have money to do this. Now I say, how am I going to make the money to do this? Like that alone, one just defeats you. The other one excites you, right?
Yeah.
So in anything, I don't even allow myself to use the word try. I'm going to try to do this. No, no, no. I'm going to do this. And even though you're scared throughout, you still say it throughout till you convince your soul it's real. And next thing you know, it happens. You know, it just is. So that's number two. And number three, what was the third one that was really important? Oh, it's extremely also important to get your money right in everything. Hmm. You know, integrity for me is huge. And people in regards to integrity are so easy to break their own word and their own integrity, and it's accepted. Now, it doesn't mean that you cannot be allowed to break integrity. The more you're up to big things in the world, the more you're going to break the integrity because things are going to happen, but that's okay. So there's a difference, right? So it's important to, for example, clean up your integrity and recommit to what you want to do and get back started again. But to really pay attention to integrity and what that means and your word and how important your word is in everything. So that's another huge part. So those three things really made a big difference in my life.
Nice. No, I can't agree with more. Just starting with ourselves and integrity in our mindset. It's just so important that we start with ourselves before we're starting with trying to improve a team, right? And so, okay, now we've done that. We're on that track. You know, help us to, you know, when do I need a team? When should I think, okay, I should really, I don't know, you know, hire some people or give us a few steps in just vetting that person to make sure it's a right fit?
Well, honestly, the time you need to start building a team is when you're spending too much time in non-generating income activities, because there's a difference between being busy and being productive and creating cash flow, right? So a lot of people are busy all day. I see it all the time, but they're not producing any cash flow and they're spending more time doing all these things that don't produce any cash. So that's when you need to be hiring a team, right? Now,
seems so simple.
It is. Yeah, exactly. Right. But at the same time, what happens when you say that you don't have the money to hire somebody when you're a startup? Right. So, for example, there was this lady who approached me the other month and she wanted to get coached, but she couldn't afford the monthly installment for the coaching. So instead, I bartered with her. I said, great, you're really good at this. I'm really good at that. I'll coach you on this. You coach me on that. And it's been an incredible relationship since the beginning now. Okay. And now we're starting a partnership in business together because we've gotten so related. Also, another way, I started my own foundation, right? How do I get people to help me out? People have been volunteering their time. Why would they volunteer their time? Because I've built relationship equity with people. So it really all boils down to relationship equity and also making sure that there's a fair exchange of value between both, because you cannot be a go-getter in life. You have to be a go-giver. The minute you become a go-giver first in the way that you view people, in the way that you view relationships, not what's in it for me, what's in it for them, you know, how can I help them? The next thing you know, people want to join your team. Because they see
awesome.
Great value.
Well, but before we run out of time or have to jump to just a few final questions, I'd love for you to talk about just like executing and results, you know, with the team and tracking things like that?
Well, you need systems, definitely. And if you don't know how to create systems and accountability and KPIs and all that, well, then you got to go find somebody who knows how to do all that stuff. And all you have to do is ask for help, you know, because when you ask for help, most people, you know, acts of service is really important to them. So go and find the people that are smarter than you in X, Y, and Z, and go ask for help. Make sure that you have the proper tools to be able to, because whatever's not measured and it cannot be tracked, right? Yeah. So some people don't like technology. Some people don't like to put together what they need. Well, then go get what you need from people who've already done it in the past and start using it and start tracking it that way. So for example, every week during my foundation calls, there's sections that we all fill out ahead of time. So we start off to create it positive, for example, just to give you a heads up on what I do there. We each talk about our personal booms for the week and our business booms for the week. And then we talk about our year goal, our 6-month goal, our 30-day goal, and our 7-day goal. After that, we talk about all the action steps. Were they filled out? Were they accomplished? If they weren't accomplished, were you on track? Yes, because of what? Were you off track? Yes, I was off track because of X, Y, Z. And so then the team helps you solve those problems. And then once everyone goes through that, everybody then has a section where we go in ahead of time and we write down, I had a problem with this. This is the problem. This is why it's the problem. I need a solution. And the team works together to work out those solutions. And then we create a new action plan for next week. Boom, done.
How long does a call like that normally last?
90 minutes.
Okay. Well, what kind of software what are you using to track all this?
The document that I created.
Okay.
I could easily share that with you if you want, and you can easily send it to people. It's very powerful, and it keeps everybody really on task, very organized, and it's fun.
That would be great. I'd be happy to put it in the show notes so listeners can connect and see that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to share something as simple as that is extremely powerful in an hour and a half, gets you going, and it also tells you how much time you're supposed to spend in each section.
Wow. Okay. Well, I look forward to seeing that. I know the listeners do as well. But just a few final questions, Tatiana, before we run out of time. You know, what's a way that you've recently improved your business that we could apply to ours?
Honestly, it's really a question of a combination of everything I've just spoken about. And I think it's a question of really make sure that you measure your actionable steps on a weekly basis. And you really become intimate with your numbers in your company, because it's incredible. You know, it's really important to have monthly financial meetings for your company or even for your personal life. So really, it boils down to one thing, organization. Mm. You know, most people try to do things and they're not organized at all. If you come here, my filing cabinets are all alphabeticized. My accountant asks me for anything. Boom, it's right here. You know, my financial planner needs this. Boom, it's right here. My team member needs this. It's right here. So my emails are organized. My computer's organized. My files are organized. You really need to be organized. That's going to move you.
Yeah. Through. You know, I was going to say, I'm going to send my 5 and 6-year-old over to your house for a while so you can teach them organizational skills. But ultimately, I need to come sit there as well and learn too. So, but what's the one thing that's contributed to your success?
Training and development. You know, and I've been training and developing myself since the age of 20. And every decade, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. So every decade, a different human being appeared in my life to push me out of my comfort zone even more. So that's number one. Number two, it's really important that you pay attention. Who are your 5 people that you're spending the time with? You know, who are these people? If you're going to hang around 5 broke people, guess what? You're going to be broke too, right? So the people I hang out with have 3 commonalities. Number one, results. And that doesn't mean that they have to be rich, okay? Because results could mean ambitious and they execute and they're getting towards something in life, right? So results. Integrity is number 2 and being heart-centered is number 3. Those are the only type of people that are allowed in my tribe. There's many people who want to enter our tribe that have tons of money, have 0 integrity and 0 heart, and the doors close shut, locked, and throw away the key.
Love that. I appreciate you going into that. That's incredible. So, you know, last thing, I always ask how people like to give back. And I know like it's such a big part of what you do and you're so generous. And I'd love for you to just share a little bit about the foundation or about any other way you give back. It'd be great.
Well, yeah, I only started this foundation in April and it's incredible the momentum. I partner up with very well-vetted causes. And the first cause that I partnered up with is called Kids for Africa Sports Academy in Uganda. And they're a well-vetted foundation that already exists. And I'm building a high school for them, quite frankly.
I think it's incredible. It's just amazing. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
Building a high school, and the long-term goal over 5 years will be to build a 30-acre sustainable community. So that means parents will be involved, teachers will be involved, students will be involved. It's going to be the regular curriculum of Uganda, which is not the same as North America. We're also going to teach sustainability and entrepreneurship. Because this is a pilot project, we want to go and, you know, teach them how to sustain themselves. Then we can walk away and go do exactly the same thing in another country. So my foundation has already raised over $40,000 for this cause. We purchased 4 acres of land. We are doing another capital raise for phase two, everything from fencing to the well water to the surveying to, you know, phase two, which is a capital raise of $85,000. In the next 90 days, our goal is to raise 100K for this project. And the other extremely important thing is that I'm organizing a volunteer program to bring social entrepreneurs, which means successful entrepreneurs who are interested in making a difference in the world. Because that's what I love about wealthy entrepreneurs. When they get to a place of super success, they are then ready to want to give back, right? A bit like a guy won't get married until he's comfortable in his career because he wants to provide. So it's the same thing. So I have many, many people who I've built relationship equity with, and they want to come with me to Uganda. And given that I was a teacher for 35 years, it's easy to take my skill set and transfer it over to this because there's so many commonalities and they want to make a difference. And so I'm building a whole curriculum around that to go spend 11, 12 days in Uganda in October 2020 and do it over and over and over again and raise funds and move this cause forward.
Where can the listener learn more about the foundation?
There's a website that exists, but I'm revamping it to make it like 10 diamond, but it does exist. It's www.ly2nk. So ly with the number 2nk.com. You can easily go there. You'll be seeing it. It'll be revamped. There's a donate button in there. And for any information or anything, you can email me at tatiana@link.com, ly2nk.com.
Nice. I was going to say, any other way they can get in touch with you or learn more about you?
Yes, absolutely. And I could send them a summary. I can actually give you a summary of the foundation that you can put as part of this call too, so everybody can get a very good understanding of the foundation.
That would be great. Tatiana, thank you so much for your time. I can't thank you enough. Teams and giving back is such a big part of entrepreneurship, I feel like, and you're really good at both of those. So thank you again.
Thank you. I've had a wonderful time. Thank you so much.
Don't go yet. Thank you for listening to today's episode. I would love it if you would go to iTunes right now and leave a rating and written review. I want to hear your feedback. It makes a big difference in getting the podcast out there. You can also go to the Real Estate Syndication Show on Facebook so you can connect with me and we can also receive feedback and your questions there that you want me to answer on the show. Subscribe too so you can get the latest episodes. Lastly, I want to keep you updated. So head over to lifebridgecapital.com and sign up for the newsletter. If you're interested in partnering with me, sign up on the Contact Us page so you can talk to me directly. Have a blessed day, and I will talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Real Estate Syndication Show, brought to you by LifeBridge Capital. LifeBridge Capital works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate, while also donating 50% of its profits to assist parents who are committing to adoption. LifeBridge Capital. Making a difference, one investor and one child at a time. Connect online at www.lifebridgecapital.com for free material and videos to further your success.